All right, turn to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. My title for today's message is a question. It's a question. How far would you go? Wow. What are we talking about, Pastor? How far would you go? This message is actually about some worshipers who went more than the extra mile to worship. Matthew chapter 2, did you get there yet?
Yep.
Okay, good. Starting at verse 1, this is interesting because this is almost a Christmas message. In fact, I've used it that way in the past, this text at least. But this is an after Christmas message, really, but it's a all year round message too. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east. Everybody say, wise men from the east. Okay. Came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Everybody say, worship him.
Worship him.
Everybody say, worship him.
Come
on, let's get everybody. Everybody say, worship him.
Worship him.
All right. You note one thing before we go a little further. They came saying that they said, where, let me find it right away. Where is he who has been born? They didn't come in and say, hey, is there a kid around here that was born? They knew that he had been born. I love that confidence that they came in with. I love that assurance that they came in with. They knew something had happened. In fact, they knew it, and the people they came to didn't, for the most part, know it. I find that interesting, too. When Herod heard this, verse 3, when Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Read that together with me. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Wow. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that the time that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Say, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. There you go. And when they had come into the house, everybody say the house. Interesting. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Everybody say, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, ooh, there's a good word. How many of you like treasures? Okay, remember that one. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So I've had you say some portions out loud, and we're going to look at some of those portions of this scripture and talk a little bit about them. And maybe as a result, you'll see a few things that you didn't see before, or maybe you'll just reminded of some stuff that you already know. Either way, it's good for us to have these things put before us. So first thing I had you say was wise men from the east. No one knows exactly where these guys were from. Most people believe they were from Persia. And that isn't as far as east goes. They could have been from China, but I don't think anybody really thinks that's the case. It makes sense because there was this guy named Daniel. Remember Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember the children of Israel were exiled into that region? And some amazing things happened with those guys. Not only did they affect the Jewish community that had been exiled, but they affected the Jewish community going forward and every other group in that region. Daniel became one of the most powerful men in that region because he kept succeeding each king. I think altogether there were four kings that knew Daniel. It's really interesting to think about, isn't it? He was there and his prophecies were known, and he was an amazing man of God, even though he was lumped in with a bunch of magicians. You remember the story? They thought he was just like those other guys over there. See, all the kings had these guys that they would, you know, go to and say, what are the stars saying? What's this saying? What's that saying? Give me advice. We want to know what's going on. We got to make decisions. Every king had wise men. So these men may have been even children of Israel, kind of. You realize that when they came back from Babylon, it doesn't say everybody came back from Babylon. They may have been the descendants of some who were taken to Babylon. And they have been may have had a direct line to people like Daniel, a connection to him. And it would make sense if they did. Now, the distance from Jerusalem to Persia is about 2,400 miles. And under normal circumstances, it would have been probably at the most 6 months to get there. Traveling time, actual traveling time. Depended on the time of the year, depending on what was going on, you know, different things. No one's quite sure how long it would have taken them to get there. But it would have probably even taken longer to plan the trip than to make the trip. You know, you didn't just hop in the car and zip down the road, knowing there would be gas stations or nowadays places where you can sit for an hour and plug in. That's not how it worked for them. They had to get provisions. They had to get things together. Matthew 2:16, we didn't read that far, but it indicates that the Magi had begun the process around 2 years earlier. And so altogether, this might have been a 2.5-year commitment because they had to go back too. How many of you have taken a 2.5-year vacation? No? How about a 2.5-year hitch in something other than regular family stuff? Any of you do 2.5 years in the military? Some people do, yeah, or a little more. Depends on when you went in and what they require. And the military nowadays is a pretty serious commitment. These guys were making an even more serious commitment to go following a star to try to figure out where this baby that they somehow knew had been born and had full assurance of was. Where they got to find this kid. It's pretty amazing. It's not like they got a text message from the shepherds. He's over here. Yeah, it was on Facebook. It's a big commitment. But they had a reason that they wanted to come and see him. And we read it. It was they wanted to come and worship him. That's what they told Herod they wanted to do. That was the first thing they told Herod, basically, was, we know there's a baby around here someplace, and we want to go worship that dude. That's a major commitment to come and worship a child. I mean, what were they expecting the outcome to be by going and worshiping a child? Bill Johnson, some of you have heard me mention him before. He actually spoke on some of this a while back, and I was like, oh, I've spoken on that too. One of the things he said that I'd never thought of before was, what did they expect to get out of a child? It's a child. They knew it was a child. A child who couldn't really do anything for them in the world that they lived in pretty much at the time. And you're going to see that world expanded here in just a moment. But what were they expecting? You know, the representatives of other kingdoms oftentimes would go from one kingdom to another, and they would bring gifts back and forth in an effort to make some kind of connection, some kind of political thing happen, for terms of peace or for warding off the possibility of war in the first place. So this was an unusual for these kind of guys representing some other kingdom, perhaps, to go someplace. They'd probably made trips like this before. Emissaries to other nations, they knew how to do it, probably. It still probably took a little bit of time for them to get everything together. We'll talk about that more in a second. But they came all that way, and what were they expecting to get? Nothing. They didn't come to get. They came to give. They came to worship. So they came in total abandonment. This wasn't part of a plot to make something happen. They just wanted to worship the king because they knew there was something about this king that was unlike any other king ever. So when they said this stuff to Herod, it says he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Well, there must have been a whole lot of stuff going through Herod. I mean, first of all, a lot of people talk about the fact that he was the king and he didn't want a rival. Everybody talks about that. But think about this too. This king slipped in under the radar and he didn't know about it. When he called the scribes and the Pharisees and all those people in, the Sadducees, whoever it was he called, I read it a second ago, whoever he called in, do you think he was happy with them? Is there a baby someplace around here I need to be thinking about? I think Herod and all Jerusalem was also troubled because these guys weren't three dudes on camels. If you didn't know that, I hate to break it to you, but that's just the reality. We've got these things. We've even named them. We've got traditional names for them. I'm not even saying the traditional names might not be some of who it was. But even if it was only three wise men, three official magi, trust me, they did not come alone. They did not come alone. These were warrior people as well. They were powerful people. They were political people. And you didn't run across the desert with boxes of treasure in that day and age by yourselves, because there were hordes of people, little bands of people running around who, if they saw three guys with big boxes on the back of camels, they'd be like, that looks like some plunder for us. So what they brought with them was a small army. And I'm not sure how small it was, because their faith in what they were about to experience was so great. Do you think it might have been contagious? You think there might have been people around them who had gone on trips with them before and saw the excitement in them that were like, sign me up. I want to go on this one. They also say, this is a side note, that it was likely they didn't come on camels, they came on chargers, war horses. An army of people who were traveling on war horses, who were very good at fighting, shows up on Herod's doorstep, and he and all Jerusalem were nervous. They had reason to be. These were powerful people. You also remember that Joseph and Mary originally went down to that region for a census, being taken by what government? The Roman government. Little thing that you might not know, but if it was the Persians or anybody outside of Rome's influence, Rome would not be happy. for a small army of people from some group outside of their influence. And the Romans never conquered the Persians. At least they hadn't at that point. I don't think they ever did. So this has got political ramifications. This is an opportunity for an explosion of some kind. This is an opportunity for there to be real, real trouble. Because Herod's got to be careful how he treats that small army outside his door, but he's got to be careful how he treats that small army out of his door, not only because they're a small army, but he also has allegiances to Rome. And if Rome thinks he's messing around, they aren't going to be very happy about that. You see the picture? This is something. There was all sorts of stuff going on here. But the interesting thing is, these wise men didn't seem to care. They came in boldly and unashamedly and said why they were there and what they hoped to accomplish. I don't know. I don't think they apologized. They don't sound apologetic. We saw this star in the east, and we know a child was born. Where is he? Why? Because we want to worship him. They were on a mission to worship. They got the information they needed about what town Jesus should be in, the baby should be in, and they went and they found a house. And that kind of clears up one more thing. I mean, not that we don't like to include the wise men on any little play that we did a couple of weeks ago. It's nice to include them, but the reality is it was probably 2 years later that the wise men showed up at a house where Mary and Joseph were living. They had stayed. They didn't go back to Nazareth, even though they had come while she was pregnant too, Bethlehem from Nazareth. They stayed in Bethlehem. These men, these wise men, willingly sacrificed and gave of themselves. And as a result, upon finding the child, it says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and they fell down and worshiped him. Okay, this is the best part of the picture that I'm painting. Remember, these guys were big shots. I mean, they were influencers. They had social media running out. No, they didn't. They had something way better than social media. They were powerful, powerful people. They appeared to the people around them as very important people. I'm sure they dressed the part. I'm sure they acted the part. I'm sure they knew how to carry themselves. They knew how to behave. And yet they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. What does that look like? It looks like some leaders of this small army, when they see the baby, going, yeah! Woohoo! Do you think they had images to keep intact? Maybe they shouldn't do anything too wild and crazy, because after all, we got all these people that are, you know, our underlings with us, and we don't want to embarrass ourselves in front of these soldiers. We've got to keep our stiff upper lip, you know. I think some people think the wise men were more like Spock than they were like wise men. And it says they fell down and worshiped him. You know, the Bible can say, well, they came and they knelt with great gifts in their hands. A very honorable kind of thing. No, they fell down. They fell down. Some people get nervous when people fall down in church. I think we need more of it. So does rejoicing with exceedingly great joy sound reserved at all? It's an I'm not holding anything back kind of a thing. I don't think they were worried about their rank, their importance, their dignity. I think they were so happy to have found this baby who they came to worship. And they did not hold back. The original language for this word, exceeding great joy, it's kind of a violent thing. I mean, they weren't, you know, at all, oh, isn't he wonderful? They were like, whoa, dude, this is awesome. I think if they had done high fives back then, they would have been loud high fives. You know what I mean? There's like the high five where you just kind of put your hand up and somebody goes, yeah, nice. And then there's the one where you scored the game-winning touchdown and give somebody next to you a high five. I like those. High five. One, two, three, high five. One, two, three. Okay, I didn't do that very well. You guys, everybody was confused. What's he want? When? He's counting. I don't think it was very neat and orderly and everything figured out. I think they were just like, this is what we came for. Because they were all in. They were all in. But wait, there's more. I loved it when you did that at the, yeah. That was a line from our children's thing. That was so good. Our kids' thing. That was awesome. The Greek word for treasures, because they brought their treasures, the Greek word for that means a casket, a coffer, or other receptacle in which valuables are kept. These guys didn't show up with little tokens of appreciation of their love and respect for this king. These guys brought lots of stuff in big boxes, big honking caskets full of stuff. Here's something interesting. The gold would have been the least valuable of the three things that they brought, at that time. Frankincense and myrrh were hard to develop and hard to create. They came from plants, and plants were abundant, but yet at the same time, not the plants that they needed for that. And this is what some of the scholars that I was looking at, up and read about said. They said that they would have been at least twice as much value as the gold. Not because there's two of them, but individually. And at current values, based on some estimates that I read, and I had to update some of the estimates because I was looking back over several years and different things as I researched this, they believe that they probably brought enough gold. I think it's like 8 by 8 by 8. A square of gold or that much coinage or whatever would be about 50 pounds. In troy ounces, in today's rate, at $1,860 a troy ounce, it would have been about $1.1 million, just the gold. Some people wonder what Jesus did with all that money. Joseph blew it all on drink. No, that's why we don't see him anymore in the book. No. I believe that. Well, and let me just say this then. The whole amount, I found estimates anywhere from $1 million to $4 million for what was given to them. And most of you know that shortly after the wise men left, they had to beat feet down to, Egypt. That would have cost them something, but not that much. Coming back would have cost them something, but not that much. Providing for themselves while they were down there would have cost them something, but I don't know that it would have been that much. Some people believe that when Jesus started his ministry, he had a little bit of seed money to get things going. I don't know. All I know is, and this is the more important part of the focus, these guys weren't kidding around. These guys came to worship with everything they had. Their time, their talent, their status, their finances, their emotions. They didn't leave anything out. They gave it all to worship. They were all in. Nothing was too extreme. Nothing was too great for them to give. And why did they do it? Because this is how wise men worship. Let's bring it down to you now. This is how wise men worship. Wise people. People who have wisdom and understanding, they worship with everything that they've got. They worship holding nothing back. So I've been asking a question of myself as I've re-looked at all these scriptures. And I've been looking at them for a while now. You know, we just went through the Christmas season. Every time we get to the Christmas season, I look at what I've spoken on in the past, trying to think of what our congregation needs, praying through that, read through this scripture multiple times. And I was like, oh, and I said other things and did other things, but this was percolating in me. It was working in me. And I have to ask myself the question, am I in? Am I all in? Am I all in as far as I can get in? Is there any more in that I can get? Have I come to a certain level of worship, but is there more that I can do? Is there anything that I hold back because of what I think someone else might think, or because I might need that, or that other thing, or whatever? Am I willing to let go of everything? Is my dignity something I'm still trying to hold on to and keep intact? If Jesus were here, would I fall down? Well, somebody says, if you saw Jesus as he is now, you'd fall down. Yes, we all would. But that wouldn't be because we chose to. That was because I don't think you could stand up. But he is here. And are we worshipers? Are we that wise? Do we do the things we know to do in worship? Do we go beyond the things we have to do in worship? Or are we satisfied with where we are? Because wise men hold nothing back in worship. Which is why I brought my guitar down here. And I forgot my pick. Let me go get one. I'm not going to start another worship service right now, I don't think. Would you give up your watch to worship? Ooh. Give up my watch to worship? What do you mean? Well, I mean, you know, my watch tells me what time it is. I'm actually doing pretty good today. Mark told me I didn't have much time. I didn't have a long message. Did good, didn't I? John knows me so well. My preaching part's done, I think. You may need a little bit on this guitar because it's not the same as the other one. And I'm using this mic instead of a regular mic, and who knows how this will sound, but I got a song that doesn't require you to know the words because there's only one. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's worship him. Hallelujah. 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 worship him.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Can we step it up a little bit more?
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, worship him.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
So stand up.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
I give you glory.
I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory.
Put your hands together and give the Lord some praise this morning. Give him a shout. Come on, I hear some of you already doing it. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. So I started my message out saying, how far would you go? My last question is real simple. After what you just did, how far do you need to go? You saw what the wise men were willing to do. How far do you need to go? That's not condemnation. That's destination. You get it? I see how wise those men were. How wise do I want to be? How far do I need to go to get myself to the place that they were at? Because I'm not going to be satisfied to stay where I am. I'm not there yet. And I want to get there. Lord Jesus, bless your people today. As we go from this place, I pray that we will go with this in mind, that we want to be worshipers of you. And Lord, we don't have to go as far as the wise men went. We don't have to put together all the things that they put together. We have an opportunity to go deeper and further every day. Oh God, make us those people. Help us to be wise people. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.